Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Last year, as I was praying about 2025, God was clearly showing me constantly throughout the Word that it is the obedience of the believer that unlocks the abundance of the Lord. It is the obedience of the believer that unlocks the abundance of the Lord. 2 weeks ago, I shared a message around 2 Corinthians 1:20 about the yes and the amen. And it says there, it says, and so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Again, talking indirectly about obedience. I sensed over the end of last year, towards the end of last year, and even as we were planning as a team, that God is wanting his bride, you and I, to get back to being radically obedient. Radically obedient. Doers of the word and not just hearers. So my call for everyone who calls Pneuma East home, all believers listening to this podcast afterwards, is that this is the year to live out of a radical obedience. So I declare 2025 to be the year of radical obedience at Pneuma East. Now, some of us are freaking out. What do you mean by obedience? We're going to unpack that. The banner last year was, his presence is our priority. The banner this year is obedience. And to help us all remember that this is what we got to do this year, we have a gift for you. It's a little armband. It says obedience. 2025. We've got white buckets on that side. If we can all just pass the white buckets through, grab yourself an obedience, slip it on your arm to remind you that throughout this year that we are in a year of radical obedience. Now, there is a reason for having a wristband. The first one is to remind yourself that this is the year of obedience. The second reason is it's a talking point. If somebody looks at this wristband and says, what's that all about? You can tell them about Jesus. You can share a little bit of your testimony. Now, some of you, this might not fit. We do have larger ones and we do have smaller ones outside at the info hub afterwards. Please go and exchange them if they don't fit your wrist. I love this idea of having a wristband. Why? Because it doesn't matter where I am at any single time. I can be running. I can be watching sport. I can be watching TV. I can be going through a difficult time. But this is my reminder that I am called to a year of radical obedience. You see, the scripture that we have, why obedience is because of this. The obedience is because my heart, our heart as spiritual father and mother of this house is that we will see profound spiritual growth in each and every single one of you. If we do not see growth by the end of this year, we have failed at our job of leading you. I own it. How will we help you to grow? By teaching from the pulpit, by making sure that the life groups are happening, make sure that our youth and our young adults are functioning, making sure that our empower group are functioning, making sure that our kids team are roaring at the bits. That's how we will hopefully see spiritual growth. However, it also depends on you. Depends on your obedience to the scriptures of what is brought. I also want to say that as you embrace obedience, you will become more aligned deeply with God's will. You will experience his presence and his guidance in powerful ways, which will lead you to a greater love for Jesus. That's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is we want you to love Jesus even more by the end of this year. Radical obedience is both foundational. Radical obedience is transformative. It is the key throughout Scripture that unlocks His blessings, His favor, and His purposes. So I've also chosen a Scripture. The Scripture that I've chosen for the year will be Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 9. If you've got your Bible, you can turn to that. We are going to unpack that. But as you turn in there, I want you to know that even that Scripture is titled Blessings for Obedience. It starts with the word obey, and it finishes with the word obedience. The Greek word for obey or obedience comes from the Septuagint, the ancient Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, and it literally means to listen attentively with the intention of submitting. This is a biblical word. This is not JJ saying that we need to just obey because I say you've got to obey. No. This is what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying that the word obey is to listen attentively with the intention of submitting. And in the context of Deuteronomy 28, it conveys a sense of listening attentively to God's commandments and then responding in a way that shows submission and commitment to His will. It's not just about hearing. It's about hearing and doing, being doers of the word. So let's start off this morning by looking at the first verse. It says in Deuteronomy 28, 1, it says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. If you fully obey and carefully follow, that's the key. There's a biblical call right there and then to obedience. It starts with a conditional statement, if you fully obey. Obedience is not partial or selective. It requires full commitment. And throughout Scripture, there is this call to a lifestyle of total submission to His word and as well to His will. Obedience begins with hearing and is fulfilled by the responding, the yes and the amen. It is, let me repeat that, obedience begins with the hearing but is fulfilled with the responding to His voice. It's like a lock and a key. I can take a key and it may fit the lock, but it doesn't turn. Why doesn't it turn? Because the little ratchets on the inside do not coordinate with the little bumps on the outside. But when I take a key that is totally in alignment with the ratchets and the bumps, it unlocks. That is how the word is. That is how obedience is. Full obedience aligns our lives with His divine purposes and opens the floodgates of heaven. You see, in Deuteronomy 28, verses 2 to 6, let's look at that. As we align our lives, there are lots of blessings that come out of the obedience. We want the blessings, don't we? But the key is the obedience. It is the obedience that unlocks the blessings. And here we read on it. All these blessings that He's about to talk about, all these blessings will come on you and accompany you. That's very important. They will come on you and accompany you. If you obey the Lord your God, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. They will all be blessed. Let's unpack that. The fruit of your womb. What does that speak about? It speaks about the blessings of children and family. When we align our hearts and our lives with God's will, He pours out His blessings in ways that strengthen, restore, and nurture our family relationships. Let me say that again. That it strengthens, it restores. That's a word for somebody. And it nurtures our family relationships. The phrase about the crops of the land and the livestock, the herds and the flocks, highlights God's provision and abundance. For us today, in today's world, it is the surety of financial stability. It is the surety of success in work and business, of all the provision of our needs. And it's a reminder that when we trust God, He provides for both the physical and the spiritual needs. The young livestock, the calves and the lambs. This ties into the work of cultivating and maintaining. Look, you can have a herd of cattle, but if you don't bring in a bull, there's not going to be calves. You can have a flock of sheep, but if you don't bring in a ram, there's not going to be any little lambs. You've got to cultivate. You've got to think as a farmer to do this. It's exactly the same with us. It ties into the work of cultivating and maintaining one's livelihood. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. A basket was used in the days back to carry grain and food or produce, while a kneading trough was where dough was prepared. Both of these are symbols of sustenance. This blessing in today's context can be understood as God providing for your daily needs with no lack. There is no spirit of lack when we are sons and daughters, because He is a God of abundance and He's a God of provision. So this brings about the idea of financial stability. It brings about the idea of having food on the table or resources to support your family. Verse 6, you'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. This reflects a comprehensive blessing on a person's life, indicating that God's favor will surround them in every part of their day-to-day existence. It's not like He blesses you now and you walk out of the blessing and you've got to come back to bed. No. Where you go, He goes. As you are obedient, He blesses. He provides. So out of all of this, we can see that all these blessings that He's just spoken about touches every aspect of your life. It touches every aspect of my life, family and work and provision and protection. Obedience brings the assurance of His presence and His provision. Boom. Another outcome of radical obedience, and this is where I'm trying to get to verse 9, but verse 7 says protection. It highlights the protection and honor that come with obedience. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated where? Before you. They will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. So what is God? God will not only defend His people, but will cause their enemies to scatter in fear and confusion. God assures you as a believer, you as a son and a daughter, that no matter how strong and organized the opposition may seem, it will not stand against the power of God that works on your behalf. That outcome, that's outcome. We have a scripture that no weapon formed against me shall. Hello. This is what we're talking about. Then verse 8, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and everything. Everything you put your hand to, the Lord God will bless you in the land He is giving you. This is a reminder of Genesis, where they were put in the Garden of Eden and they had to work it out, His kingdom, and expand His kingdom. He has given us the land, but you and I are called to be obedient so that we can expand His kingdom. Verse 9. Obedience aligns us with our true identity, sons and daughters. You see, it's not just about following rules. It's about embracing who we are in Christ. When we choose to obey, we align ourselves with our true identity as God's children. Radical obedience is a declaration of whose we are. Whose we are. Radical obedience is an outward expression of our identity as children and followers of God. It reflects our trust in God. It sets us apart and it activates His power and His blessing. If the team up here were not listening to the Spirit of God and where the Spirit of God was leading, it would just be a sing-along. But they're up here, they prepared beforehand, praying, seeking God's face, listening to where God is leading. Even up here, they listen. Roma was listening what God wanted to say as she was sitting down at the bottom. That, and then she got up. That is obedience. That is obedience. A great illustration of radical obedience is the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, and I'm not going to unpack this, but I've been stuck in Exodus since November last year, and I cannot get out of it because I'm getting revelation upon revelation, but I'm going to give you a quick synopsis. In Exodus 14, verses 15 to 16, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me?'" All the Israelites are whinging. They're seeing, who were they? The Egyptians, thank you. Yeah, the enemies, the Egyptians were coming along. And they're getting all freaked out, and they run to Moses, and they whinge. And Moses goes to God, and he says, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." In other words, there's a sea in front of us. He says, but tell the children to go forward. And then he says in verse 16, "But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it." He's not saying, "Hey, I will divide the sea for you." He's saying to Moses, "Stretch out your hand and divide the sea." Hello. Who would freak out? I would be freaking out. But in verses 21 to 22, then Moses stretched out his hand, radical obedience, over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. Yes and amen. He did. God did. In no physical could he part the sea. He just stretched out his hand. But God parted the sea. And they walked on dry ground, not even muddy ground. Their stilettos were quite clean when they got to the other side. Exodus 14, 26. Then the Lord said, they're busy going through. And then the Lord says to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, and the waters may come back, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on the chariots and on the horsemen." Verse 27, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth." Hello. Can we see this? Radical obedience. I would be freaking out. I have over 600,000 men. Nearly 2 to 3 million people that have to cross a sea, which could be anything between 16 kilometers wide from here to Kew, or 43 kilometers wide from here to, let's say, the airport. Yep, about that. That's how wide the sea is. 2 to 3 million people have to cross over. Get perspective here. Radical obedience saved them. Radical obedience opened the way for them. And they crossed over with not even a hair on their head. I mean, they got the sharks from this side. They got the with stingrays on this side. And they're marching. Walking through. See you later. On the other side. But if it wasn't for the radical obedience of Moses, and then the radical obedience of Moses, of the Israelites listening to Moses, having faith in God and crossing over, they would not have been saved. Radical obedience. Obedience to God's instructions always leads to victory. Say that to one another. Victory is coming through your obedience. You see, the radical obedience of Israelites crossing the Red Sea saved them from bondage, destruction, and hopelessness, leading them to freedom, leading them to victory and God's divine glory. Can I just say, prophesy right now, your radical obedience this year, even when things seem uncertain and dire, I declare will lead to breakthrough that you have never experienced. It will lead to a freedom you have never felt before and the fulfillment of God's promises that you have never seen. I declare it. So I'll take that for myself. But be warned. You may East family, hear what I'm saying. Be warned. Obedience is all about heart posture. Obedience is not legalism. What do I mean? It's not about adhering to rules and performing duties to earn favor, to prove worth It's not about ticking boxes. Legalism focuses on external, strict rule following, which makes us right with God. It's all about the heart. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commands. If you what? If you love me. It's a heart thing. True obedience is from relationship. True obedience is motivated by the heart, consisting of love and trust and desire. What am I saying? We need to be in relationship. We need to spend time with God on a constant basis. An example of somebody who had brought about radical obedience, which released radical abundance, is who? Jesus himself. You see, throughout it all, throughout the crucifixion, his heart posture was unshakable. In Philippians 2:8, he says he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. Even death on the cross. Obedient to death. His obedience wasn't passive. It was active. He didn't sit around and wait for the occasion. He actually climbed onto the cross. He actually went, walked the Via Dolorosa, carrying, battered, torn to shreds, but with the one goal in mind, to climb on the cross. Radical obedience. Radical obedience driven by love. You see, his radical obedience calls you and I to radical obedience, because in Matthew 16:24, he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must do what? They must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. In Matthew, in the New Living Translation, it says, you must give up your own way. Ouch. Say ouch. That's the tough one. Speaking to myself.
Give up your own way.
But. Give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. Jesus' obedience was an example. He calls us to the same radical obedience of surrender, laying down our own way and embracing God's plan through it all and saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. It's going to be a good year. Amen. Obedience. Obedience. Your obedience is the key that unlocks God's blessings, unlocks his provision and his protection and his purpose. But more than that, it is a mark. Your obedience is a mark of your love for him. It's a mark of your trust in his ways. So as we reflect on Deuteronomy 28:1-9, let us ask the Holy Spirit to reveal areas that we need to align ourselves. It's not a sin. It's not, oh, woe is me, I can't do this. No. We all need alignment. Some of us, all of us, judge included. My wife, definitely. Love you, Jesus. Let us commit to a lifestyle of obedience. So here's my challenge as I finish up. Oh, 3 minutes to go, Shells. I'm all right. I'm doing okay. If Holy Spirit has highlighted areas of disobedience, if Holy Spirit has highlighted areas of surrender in your life tonight, today, as you're listening to this, as Holy Spirit's like, I want to say that, please bring them before the Lord. Simple. Lord, I've been disobedient in this area. I haven't been getting up. I haven't been studying. I haven't been doing Bible study. I haven't been reading your word. I haven't been spending, whatever it is, I confess. Please forgive me. Then, Holy Spirit, help me. Yes. He's your helper. Go and say, oh, I can't. You can. Holy Spirit is there to help you. And every single morning when I pray, I go, Holy Spirit, can you help me pray? Because if I don't ask a question, guess what? I'm googly gabbing there. It's all about me. What about me? But as soon as I learned this when we were going through a tough time a couple of years ago, as soon as I pray, Holy Spirit, help me, it's like, whoa, I pray things I never would have thought of. Yeah. This morning as I was praying, there were things that God showed me to pray for us, our family, that I have not prayed in 18 months, 19 months that we've been here. Crazy stuff. That's what happens when you ask Holy Spirit to help. Right. Holy Spirit, help me to pray. So here's my question. Can we? Everybody we love, everybody in this room that we love, can we as a church family walk in the fullness of radical obedience this year? Why? Why, JJ? Because at the end of this year, for us, we want to see you more in love with Jesus. For us, we want to see you have more of a hunger for the Word of God. For us, we want to see you stepping out in faith, praying for the sick in the supermarket, on the bus, in the trams. For us, you growing. I said this 2 weeks ago, I cannot spend time on your behalf with Jesus. You have to do that. I cannot spend time on behalf of my wife or my son or my daughter or Edward. They have to do it themselves. The same with you. Can we, as a church family, not knowing what this year holds, hold on to Jesus, the promises, declaring, seeing good in one another, working for unity, whatever the word says we are doing? Why? So that his kingdom can be expanded and God can be glorified. That's what we're on this earth about. My heart is that you'll never be the same again. At the end of this year, you will never be the same again. My heart is that by the end of this year, you look back and go, that was the best year of my life. Even with the challenges, even with the unknowns, it doesn't matter what comes your way, you will say that's been the best year of my life. Can we do that as a church? If you say yes to that, that's my call, that's my challenge. I'd like you to stand. I'd like you to pray. If I can have the team with us, that'll be awesome, please. I have a prayer that I want to pray. And this is maybe where I get a little bit unstuck. But we're getting there. Can we just hold our hands out in front of us? Our Heavenly Father. Father, as we step into 2025, we come before you as a church family with open hearts, surrendered lives, and a hunger for all that you have prepared for us. We desire radical obedience. Radical obedience to your voice, radical obedience to your will, radical obedience to your spirit. Firstly, I pray, align our hearts with yours. Remove any fear, hesitation, distraction. Remove the baggage of 2024. If there's anything that we've carried over, remove that, Lord, because we say yes to you fully. Secondly, Lord, break off complacency and comfort. We don't want to settle for what is familiar. We want to see heaven truly invade earth through our obedience. Thirdly, strengthen us as one body. May we walk in unity. May we love like Jesus loved, unconditionally. May we honor because you live within us, seeing one another as you see us, preferring one another and carrying one another's burdens, no matter what it is, Lord God. Help us to move together, not as individuals, but as a kingdom family, and advance your kingdom in our community. Holy Spirit, lastly, lead us boldly. Whether we step into new ministries, new business, new planting of revival, whatever we are doing, Father God, new school, whatever we are doing, new ventures, I pray that you will lead us boldly. Help us to be a people marked by faith, marked by boldness, and an unshakable trust in you. We declare 2025, a year of kingdom expansion. We declare 2025, a year of breakthrough and supernatural provision. We declare that we will not shrink back. We will not hesitate. We will run towards everything where you lead us. And as we move in obedience, may your name be glorified in every testimony, every miracle, and every life transformed in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, amen and amen. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.